Hi, this is Carl Wonschank for the Daily Music Break. We're thrilled to be speaking with an old friend of the site, Nino Arabellize. And Nino is a tremendous artist from Chicago who is coming east soon. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, I'd like to say hi, Nino. How you doing?
Hi, Carl. How are you?
Just great. Nino, again, it's a pleasure to be speaking with you again. Can you kind of introduce yourself to the our audience who perhaps haven't heard you or listened to any of the previous interviews we've done?
Yeah, of course. I'm Nino Arobelize, like you said. I have a band called Girl Named Nino, and it's called after my forthcoming album, which is my second full-length solo album. And it's coming out this Sunday on April 10th worldwide, and you can purchase it and check it out and see what the sonic palette that we have going on at the moment.
That's great. I didn't know it was coming out on Sunday. That's
It is.
great. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That's fabulous. Could you describe a little bit about your music, Nino? I know it's eclectic, so that's probably a challenge, but you know. Please do.
Basically, I like to say I'm a singer-songwriter, and I play various instruments, but I often perform with my guitar, my acoustic Cordoba, which is a fusion guitar, and I perform in a trio setting often because I settled into the sound that's a combination of soul and world music fused with some jazz elements, mostly because it's improvisational in nature. And it's built around, you know, sonic ideas of the song. But I think I wanted to depart from a bit of a stalemate that the jazz has been venturing into. And it's become kind of a bad word, if ever was a word to begin with. And, you know, I feel like it was always blues, and then it somehow became hip, you know, and then it became not so hip, and I kind of came into it in the you know, in the 2000s as a jazz student, as a music student, and then I decided I wanted to write my own material.
Right.
I ran into a lot of, you know, I don't want to take too long about going into it, but I kind of found myself not wanting to commit to a standard of what one sound is versus another. And I wanted to just learn a lot of different vocabulary musically and explore different sounds, because I was just, you know, coming from Eastern Europe, being Georgian, you know, I was exposed to a lot of polyphonic music, a lot of Bollywood music from India as a kid, a lot of chanson from France and Italian, you know, Neapolitan music, as well as classical and singer-songwriter material from Russia and songwriters from Georgia. So I was like all over the place in terms of what really made my ears pop. And I wanted to honor that. So in order to honor that, I had to learn it. And it took me a while. But, you know, after going through a classical program and figuring out how to use my voice in the way that I was envisioning, I've kind of started my own projects. And, you know, I would describe it as indie soul with elements of jazz and rock and roll.
So how did your music change when you came to the States? So you describe a background that had a tremendous amount of different types of music, which is what I think of when I think of the States here. And then you already had that, and you came to the States, and you were exposed to, you know, this next level of mixed musics.
Right.
So how did that change you as an artist?
You know what? I came here at 14, so I was a kid. And I had to kind of be a grown-up since I was a kid, because I was growing up in, you know, at the Soviet Union fell apart. So it wasn't really the kind of sunshine and butterflies childhood. And it was interesting because, you know, sonically, I didn't hear any jazz, really. I started right away to hear more pop and British pop that was influenced by a lot of R&B from the States, you know. And so coming here, I was coming in with hearing American music, Lauryn Hill and George Michael and different, you know, Eric Clapton and Stevie Wonder, but you know, depending on, I didn't really know when they were, like, I didn't know the history from where the culture it was that they came from.
Right.
So coming in, it was more, I was more ignorant to black music shortly, and how blues and the music of struggle and freedom has informed that type of sound. And coming here, I moved to the suburbs, so there was not much freedom to learn about there, but unfortunately, but I did come across one of the most influential artists to me, and to I think every artist that sings or writes. And we celebrated her birthday yesterday, Billie Holiday. And I found her records in the library, and she wasn't very well known in Georgia. I mean, I had heard Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan, but I'd never heard of Billie Holiday, nor had I heard Dinah Washington, who was from Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, from the South Side. And so finding those records really made me want to figure out how early this music started, why it started, you know, what made blues the way it was, because blues structurally and spiritually, and just the way it flows, and as well as technically, like theoretically, it's very similar to Georgian folk music, and a lot of Georgian songs that are, you know, anonymously constructed. I mean, songs that you don't know who wrote, but they've
Right,
been around
like
for.
folk songs.
Right, exactly, like mountain music here
Right.
that you hear. And then, you know, of course, mountain music wasn't originated here. Again, it was brought by the immigrants from, you know, whether it was Ireland or Germany or England, you know, and it's that's what makes what, like you said, that's what makes it so unique, because it was brought but then developed and used to connect to one's culture. And that's what I found in blues. So that it was kind of a form of finding myself here, because that would be my new life here. But I also didn't have to deny my roots and my identity. And I could honor my heritage, and that meant a lot for me. And I think that's what jazz gives you. And that was the purest of what I found appealing about the blues and about jazz medium, which is like the urban form of the blues, right? So unless you're talking about Chicago blues, which is as urban as it gets, but
So it's layer upon layer upon layer.
yeah, so
And
much layering.
so you are about to you have an album coming out on Sunday, and you are also moving coming east.
I am coming east to
Tell
Maine.
us about that.
I am coming to New York City, to Manhattan, to Club Bonafide on May 7th with Pablo Gordy, who is my partner in crime, an electric guitarist, multi-instrumentalist, and I recorded this album, and he engineered it, and I produced it. It's just been an amazing experience. But I look forward to sharing a New York stage with him, because we've never played New York together. And I'm bringing along a good friend that I used to sing with in college as my backup singer. Her name is Colleen Dornbush, and I call her Kelly D. And Kelly's going to be there, so it's going to be a very it sounds like stripped down, but we sound like a lot of people up there. So it's going to be a really exciting show. And this place is very special, because one of the co-owners is Richard Bona, who is one of my favorite artists. I don't know if you know his music, but
Spell the name.
Richard Bona, Bona. I will send you some of his some of my picks of what I really like. But
And before we end, though, you got to tell us what street it's on. It's on a special street, isn't it? 52nd Street, isn't
yeah,
it?
it's on 52nd Street.
I'll post the address in the I'll have the address there. But 52nd Street is kind of a special street, so
Yes,
that's at
it
least.
is. And for the listeners who don't know why it's so special, would you like to tell them?
Why don't you? You'll do a
Okay.
better job.
Oh, no. 52nd Street is a very special street because of its history. It used to be called The Street because of its reputation for music clubs and all the jazz and buzz and glory. In its glory day, you know, when Monk and Monk and all those cats were, making it really fresh and relevant. One of the reasons this club was opened on the 52nd Street is because Richard Bona and his team wanted to bring the sound of the street back. And so I thought it was so great. And the acts that they book, it sounds like I'm promoting the club, and I really
That's
don't know
okay.
much more than the what they talk about on their site, and the fact that they gave me an opportunity to play in New York, which is I last time I performed in New York was in Carnegie Hall, when
Really?
it was with my choir, and we sang Mozart's Vesperus, which is a very different repertoire from what we're bringing along with Girl Named Nino. But I remember I still have the stub for my all access backstage VIP pass from my Carnegie Hall experience that I did. And I remember it was just life changing, and it was in May. It was I have it on Instagram. You can see it. The pass I found. My mom brought it to me the other day. She was like, "Oh my God, look at what I found," because it was in college, and so I brought it home to like, "Mom, look at what I have," and along with souvenirs like, let's say, practice, practice, practice. How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice, practice, practice. Well,
Right.
your first gig was at Carnegie Hall, so you started at the top.
Right. Oh, but I wish, but the one of the reasons that Carnegie Hall is such a big deal is one of my favorite artists that made me want to play guitar and sing was Odetta. And one of my first vinyls of my own that I had was Odetta Live at Carnegie Hall. It was just her. I don't know if you have it or if you've heard of it.
This little light of mine, right?
Yes. And the whole, I have this vinyl, and I the liner notes and reading about her and hearing, I think it's a double album too. And there was a time where I was just like just obsessed with it. I listened to it all the time, and I couldn't believe how complete one person could make a show,
Right.
just being honest and having that much. And there wasn't a lot of original material. It was just a lot of original honesty, which is rare, and everyone can connect too. But yeah, I was really moved by that. So Carnegie Hall offers a lot of different flavors to me, what it means to me to play there. But I say that because it was a choir show. It's not like they booked me particularly, but it was a life-changing. It was one of those cornerstone moments where you go, I want to do this, for as long as I can possibly do this and keep growing. And so this visit to New York, and then we'll be going to Buffalo. I'll be playing a solo show at Sportsman Tavern in Buffalo on the 18th of May with a really good friend of mine, Tim Joyce, who's a comedian and actor and a writer that I met in Chicago as a student again when I was in college. And he's from there, and we're doing a night of comedy and music with his comedy group that he has up there. So it's going to be cool. It's going to be interesting. I've never been to Buffalo, but one of my other heroes, Ani DiFranco, is from there, and she actually has her headquarters and her label are there. And I just think it's cool, like I'm going to her house or something. It's very awesome. But
Buffalo has a great reputation. I was talking about it with someone today. My son goes to school in Pittsburgh, same kind of city where people don't talk much about it because they're scared too many people are going to move there and move.
right. Yeah, Pittsburgh is so beautiful. I keep every time someone says Pittsburgh, though, I can't help but think that about that Tom Waits song, I'm Not Dead, I'm in Pittsburgh.
That was a while ago. Pittsburgh is I'll tell you about it. Pittsburgh's just a
Gorgeous.
wonderful place. It's a great place, Pittsburgh. Nino, this has been, as always, it's been great. Nino Arabelladze, I think I got it right that
Yeah,
time.
you rocked it.
I rocked it. And you are with a girl named Nino.
Yes, yes.
You'll be playing in the city in Manhattan on May 7th. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to meeting you. And wish you all the luck. Sounds like a lot, and a great luck with the album too. This is Carl Weinschenk for the Daily Music Break. Thank you for listening, everyone. Bye bye.